Tonight we have a very special occasion. Jim is celebrating 20 years. So. Jim's been sponsoring me for about 2.5 years now, and one thing that I've seen him do more than and anybody else that I know is constantly reach out to help others. So I thought what would be nice is to have a night here where people that he's helped and people that are in Jim's support network and people who know him come up and speak on the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Again, this is not just about Jim. This is about the fact that Alcoholics Anonymous can work. And this is in Jim's word, even for people like Jim. So I was quoting him there. So if everybody's gonna, we're going to have a round of speakers. Everybody's going to share for 5 minutes. And our first speaker is going to be our very own Tom DeBerry. Tom.
I'm standing up. I'm Tom. I'm alcoholic, and it's good to be here. It's good to be sober. My sobriety date is November 18th, 2001, and I have my higher power to thank, and I have my sponsor to thank, Jim. Let's see here. I wanted to talk about the difference between the sponsor and the sponsee, one time Jim was. Jim was reading, and he let me drive his truck, and I was driving his truck, and we were going to a speaking commitment, I think, in Newark, and I missed the exit. I had a little bit of Swiss cheese up here, and I missed the exit. Jim, I think I missed the exit. You dummy, my Jesus Christ, we're gonna be late for the speaking commitment. Oh my God, turn around. Okay, next day, Jim's driving. Now he's my sponsor, and we're driving along, we're sailing along, and we drive right by the exit. And I'm like, Jim, I think we missed the exit. Oh, Tom, relax. This is God's will for us. Okay? this is God's will for us. There was and he's got an explanation, man. You don't understand. There was probably a terrible accident that we would have been involved in. We would have both, been in a fiery crash or a death. And we'll just turn around and go back. And sure enough, we turn around, go up the exit ramp. There's the fire trucks, the ambulances. There's people laying dead on the side of the road. I'm like, thank God for my sponsor. in AA, we have our pride and our ego deflated here. We try to get rid of self. And if you have a good, strong sponsor like Jim, he serves up a mean slice of humble pie. And it's fitting to see Jessica here. She came along in the early days there, and the first couple of weeks the sponsor's kind of nice to me and everything, and kind of welcoming me into AA. And Jess has seen her thousands of new guys, and here I am, the new guy now in the car, and she just leans over to me and whispers, "Tom, you need to shave the top of your ears, okay?" I mean, you talk about pride and ego. Oh my God! I'm like, I'm just loving AA, okay? Loving AA. But in all seriousness, folks, when I got here, my life was a shambles, and alcoholism. Thank God, laughter is truly the best message for this illness, and there's never a dull moment with them when I'm with my sponsor. But that was the way that I got led out of the darkness. And 3 weeks into this program, I was not doing well. I asked Jim to be my sponsor, and he did what every good member of Alcoholics Anonymous did. We got right into the steps, the 12 steps, and each day, each week, another step, another step, another step, and my life has been wonderful as a result of it. The way he assured me that I should thank him is by passing this message on, and I hope I've done that here. Thanks for letting me speak, and back to Steve.
Thanks for sharing, Tom. Actually, in the early days of my sobriety, I was sponsored by both Tom and Jim, and I don't think I've ever been told to shut up so much in my life, but that was good. Our next speaker is Megan, so thank you.
It's good to be here. It's good to be sober. My sobriety date is July 11, 2005, And this is my home group, and Jim's not my sponsor, but but he was, so sorry for the gray hair. I've learned so much about sponsorship since I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, and my first sponsor, she had what I wanted. You know, she was blonde hair, blue eyes, gorgeous, had a really hot boyfriend, she had a nice car. She had a job, you know, she seemed to be like she was doing pretty well, and you know, she offered to me what she had in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I didn't get any of the things she had, and I really wasn't doing too well staying sober either, you know, and I found my home group, and you know, I started to go into the steps with a sponsor and this home group, and I got a lot more out of it, you know, than I had the previous 5 or 6 months being in Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I went to the steps with the sponsor, I kind of had no idea really what was going on, you know, and I just got taken through them. I think for me, what's been fantastic about sobriety is being able to sponsor other people. And I've definitely learned a lot through sponsoring other people. And I you know, my mom used to say that, I hope you have kids that are just like you. And you know, and I do, but they're, you know, not my kids yet. You know, and it's been a great experience. And you know, I was thinking that I just need to stay consistent with one person in my life. I need to call one person and let them into my life, you know, and tell them all my secrets and all my fears, and keep them posted on what's going on in my life on a daily basis to the best of my ability, you know, and I just have to be honest with one person, you know, so that when my life goes down the crapper, you know, my sponsor can look at my life objectively and say, well, this is where you went wrong, why don't you try something else, you know, and my sponsor has been big lately on letting me make mistakes, you know, but she always tells me, you know, that there's a way out and there's a solution to everything, you know, and I'm really, really grateful for that, and I've learned that it's, when I was new, I used to say that it was like a, what are they called, ducks? You know, it's like the little duck follows the mama duck in the pond, and you just got to get in line and follow your mama, you know? And and that's all I got, thanks.
Thanks for sharing, Megan. Next, we have a man of a few words, Jose.
Jose, I'm an alcoholic.
Yay!
My sobriety day is September 17, 2003. This is my home group. I have a sponsor, and I have sponsored people. you know, when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that I had cirrhosis, and I was dying. I know I had a drinking problem, and I needed to stop. But I didn't know how, and thank God I came into this meeting and summit, and this guy came up to me and said, you're new. You know, he saved my life. He quickly scared me. and he told me to sit next to him, and he immediately, you know, put me to the steps in Alcoholics Anonymous, and he showed me how to live, you know, because I didn't know how to live sober or drink. So, you know, and I thank God for that, and that's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks, Jose. And next we have Amy.
Amy, alcoholic.
Hi.
I was just talking to somebody before the meeting, and I was talking about the fact that when I came to these rooms, I couldn't be touched by people, especially men, and I was afraid of them. And it's funny that I ended up with a male sponsor, but, you know, Jim was my sponsor, and I had a different sponsor. But I watched the way that Jim helped people, and I watched the way that he took anyone into his house and just took anyone through the steps, and I watched the way that he laid down his life for the new person. And I wanted that. You know, and I watched this person, the way he just shined God out of his eyes. And I wanted that, you know. So I ended up getting him as a sponsor, and it was a lot harder than I thought to listen. But, you know, he always stuck with me no matter how much I fought. And he was always there for me when I was crying, and he always told me that I never had to do it alone. You know, and that's what Alcoholics Anonymous is about. You know, having people with unconditional love where we never have to be alone again. You know, and Jim's definitely, he's one of my, Patty talks about heroes. Jim's one of my heroes. And, you know, he showed me how to have fun in AA. And he showed me how to, you know, sponsor people and just keep them right there. And like I said, at those moments when I was crying and I didn't think I was going to make it, he just held my hand. And he let me cry on his shoulder and told me he knew how I felt. And he's not my sponsor anymore, but he's definitely a good person that I definitely want in my life, and that I'm extremely grateful for. And on a daily basis, you know, I see him. We all still go to meetings together, and he still gives me some direction. And a lot of times, I still don't want to follow it. But you know, for somebody who for somebody who's, you know, been around for 20 years and, you know, is still happy about it, I have a profound respect for that. And somebody who hasn't thrown me away yet, you know, I also has a profound respect for. And somebody who, no matter how much I fight, will tell me the truth. And I can get violent. People know me. And you know, he sticks his foot down and he's like, this is the truth, you know, whether you like me or not. He's like, you probably won't like me, but you know, you'll respect me. And that's absolutely true too. So I really I don't have much to say besides the fact that I do truly believe that God puts people in my life for a certain reason. And I believe that, you know, if it weren't for Jim and, you know, his, you know, the fact that God is just everything to him and helping others to everything to him, I believe that I wouldn't be sober. And I thank God that I was put in his path. And that's all I have.
Thanks for sharing, Amy. Next, we have Jim Wells. Jim?
I'm Jim. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jim.
And I'm just sitting back there thinking, well, I can enjoy this. I don't have to get up there. I didn't know this. I've known Jim for 20 years. And when this all started, you didn't have a license, right? Yeah. And so Jim was in the back of my car, and a lot. And I remember, because it was the sort of like, it was a big back seat, but it was, Jim filled the whole thing, you know. I mean, he just bounced from one side to the other. He was a newcomer. You know? And yeah, he actually was. He was a newcomer. So he knows. And we have been to meetings in a lot of places together. We've been in California, Hawaii, Arizona, a whole bunch of places that we traveled around. It seems we had fun in AA in the beginning. I won't tell you how. A lot of times, I'm sure there's a. But we had a lot of fun, and you know, this is an amazing thing. I was thinking the other day about, it was Thanksgiving, obviously, and people talk about gratitude. And I was thinking what was I grateful for? I went to a meeting. People sang all the wonderful things, You know, and I thought, I am grateful. Actually, I'm grateful for everything that happened in my life, because it must have been necessary to get me to where I am today. But I'm most especially grateful for all the people that have come into my life. And, you know, I mean, it is really amazing that, after 20 years, I think we've learned a lot from each other, you know. And it's really, you know, it's just an amazing thing how this program works. So Jim lived with me for a little while, and we spent a lot of time together. We spent a lot of time together, and it was very good for me, and I think it probably was good for Jim too. I mean, I had a good time, and look, 20 years, my God, this is amazing, and it's all because of the other things these people have said. This program works, and if you do it right, but the people are who. It is a program of principles rather than personalities, but it's been my experience that the message is carried by the personalities and by individual people. It's the only way it can get out there, and Jim has just done a great job at that. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing, Jim. The next person we have is Doug from New Hampshire.
Where is he?
All right.
Hi, I'm Doug. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date's January 5th, 2003, and I thought I was safe without a tie back there. But, you know, some years ago, I came down here to visit my folks, and I went to a meeting in Summit, and there was Jim, and I've known Jim for 30-something years. We used to drink together, and it was not pretty. But, you know, at this point, I hadn't done any work in AA. I was going to a lot of meetings. I live in New Hampshire in the woods where if my dog barks, he makes the police log. I mean, that's where I come from, you know. There's not a whole lot going on up there. And there wasn't a whole lot of talk about the steps and God and the big book. And as a result of running into Jim at that meeting, I saw what he was doing. With the people in his house, I heard a message of depth and weight, and you know, God put me there in that meeting that day. When I was sitting in my mother's couch, I said, "I got to get out of here. You know, I need to get to a meeting." And I just flipped through the pages, and there was Summit. You know, and that's where I was. And I went home with a renewed vision. I did the work. I started looking at the truth in the book, and it had a huge impact with me. And, you know, Jim sponsors me now, and I'm so grateful. I sponsor other people who sponsor other people, and that's growing up in New Hampshire from that meeting in Summit. And I think that was when Jose got his 90-day pin, you know. He had just gotten over being yellow like 2 days before. I remember that. and I know a lot of you guys here, and I love you all, and it's great to be here. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing, Doug. Next on the list, we have Shannon.
Shannon, I'm alcoholic. Yay! My sobriety date is June 1st of 2006, and it's my pleasure to be able to speak on behalf of Alcoholics Anonymous and for Jim's anniversary. I was trying to think about, you know, what I was going to say when I was sitting back there, and the only thing that kept coming to my head was I was on the phone last night with this girl that I sponsor, and she's down in Florida, and we were talking about God. And what came out of my mouth last night on the phone was something that Jim used to talk about, how everybody's perception of God is different. You know, you talked about one time about asking, like, two priests who were at the same church what their idea of God was, and that they were completely different. And I was talking to her about this, and when I got off the phone with her, I just have this feeling that comes over me that it's just absolutely amazing. And I finally get, you know, what you guys have been talking about for so long. And when Jim was helping me and laying down his life for me, you know, why he does these things, you know, that it started to feel right in my heart. And that was absolutely amazing. And I didn't do anything to get it. I just kind of followed somebody's direction. And in the beginning, it wasn't Jim. It was a slew of other women. And then by default, Jim was, you know, kind of left. And so he started talking. I didn't like him, you know, because the way that I looked at it, like, he was the reason why I didn't have a car. And the reason why I wasn't able to live at home. And I didn't have a boyfriend anymore. And a cell phone. And a slew of other a job, you know, because he told me that I couldn't have any of these things. Thanks. But, you know, what he did for me is he showed up consistently in my life. When I went away to rehab, I got so miserable out there. And he's the one I called. And he took me through the steps, just as I get to do with other women today. And just by showing me through his actions, it's been absolutely amazing. And, you know, I have the pleasure of being able to do that today. And I get to be in touch with, like, a God of my understanding, which is absolutely amazing. He doesn't sponsor me anymore, you know, but he is absolutely, thanks. You know, still one of the guys that I go to pretty often, you know. Anytime my butt seems to be on fire, somebody in this group gets a phone call. And he shows up in my life, you know, no matter what. And I get the pleasure of being able to do that for other people. Congratulations. Thanks for letting me share.
I just wanted to take a minute to say a couple things. You know, it's funny, I don't see how the program works for me, but I always see how it works in other people. You know what I mean? In Alcoholics Anonymous, you see the lights come on. You know, and a couple of the last speakers, Amy and Shannon, I remember them when they were brand new, and they were a mess. But it's amazing what I watched, you know, and I used to think it had something to do with the person, you know what I mean, that it was, you know, Jim, you know, that he was doing something spectacular with them, and really what I've seen Jim do is he has never been selfish with his time. He is always willing to give of his time, and that's really what I've learned is that that's really the most valuable commodity that we have. And no matter what, you know, length or no matter how long it takes, you know, I've seen that, and I've seen the effect that that's had on other people and other alcoholics and how that's enabled them to recover and in turn give that to other people, and it's a really amazing thing. The next speaker we have is Dave Elliott. Dave, where are you?
Hi there, my name is Dave and I'm an alcoholic. And by this time, Jim must be like a real loser because he doesn't sponsor anybody at all. They all leave him. Well, you have to understand that I came to Jim. I've been in this program. This is my second time around. You know, the first time I was around, basically, I just did the walk, but I never did anything with the program. You know, and so I ended up going out. And I remember when I first came back here to New Jersey from Hawaii, and I would go by and I'd see these guys standing around there smoking cigarettes out in front of the church. And I didn't think that I needed this program anymore. I thought that I was cured. One drink later on, I found out that I wasn't. You know, after a stint in the hospital, I decided basically I better come into this program again. And I did meet Jim Bach. You know, he was the first guy that came up to me at the meeting, sponsorship meeting, and he says, "Hi, my name's Jim." You know, and he gave me a book. And he said, "Here, if you want to stay sober, give me a call." And I did call him, and I remember I went to my first big book meeting with him, basically, and I sat there, and I said, this is what I think, and this one woman here who's not here tonight said, basically, "We don't care what you think. You're a new guy." So I don't know whether you know about how it is to be sponsored by Jim, but this is what it is. He pulls up in this big white van at the time, you see, and he says, "Come on, you're late. Get in the car. Let's go." So he says, "Well, what's your sobriety date?" You tell him, "You're in the back." In the back seat you go, you see, and you're off running, you know. And, you know, you're trying to say, "Well, where are we going? What do you care?" You know, "We're going to a meeting." You know, and you find out about, like, you know, you go there, you're just thinking you're going to the neighborhood meeting, right? No, you're down in Washington, D.C. The next time you end up, you're in Philadelphia. And make sure you tell you're not going to be home on a particular time because it's not an hour thing. You're up in Vermont. See? This is how he does his program. He teaches you basically about the fact that you go from one place to the other, and it doesn't make any difference where you go. As long as you're going to a meeting, you're helping other alcoholics, and that's what he does. You know, so you'll be riding down along, and all of a sudden, excuse me. Hi, this is Jim. I'm busy right now. Can you call me back? Okay, thanks. All right, next thing. I'm sorry, this is Jim. Yeah, okay. Oh, well, okay. Well, call me back. You know, I'm really busy right now. And this goes on because he's reaching other alcoholics. Other people are reaching him. He's not one guy, basically, that spends just with you. This whole room, basically, is people who here are here with Alcoholics Anonymous because they're here. And a lot of them are here because of Jim. I'm here because of Jim. You know, I walked the program, but I never did the program. Jim Bach taught me how to do the program. You know, he taught me how to do the steps. He taught me about the fact that we have the ability to be brain surgeons in Alcoholics Anonymous. We're able to go out there and we can reach another alcoholic. Remember that conversation, Jim? Yes, he does. Well, Dave, you see, you have this opportunity. If you were going to be a brain surgeon, you go to a brain surgeon, right? Well, if you're an alcoholic, you go to an alcoholic and you can help another alcoholic. And that's what it's about. We're able here to help other people. We take the 12 step and we help other people. And you all have been helped by other people. And that's what this man does. And it's a fantastic thing to watch him, the caring, the loving that he has for other people who is putting their lives back together again. And he's done that for me, and he's done that for probably everybody else in this room. The people that come to this group keep coming back because they get the message, and they get a great message. And that's the fact that there is hope from this program. So anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing, Dave. Next we have Tim. Lyons, you.
My name's Tim. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Tim.
And I was just sitting there thinking, everybody who comes up here has something nice to say, and then I remembered, yeah, but for every one person who comes up here, there are 100 people who refuse to come to this meeting. That's true. I got sober in Indianapolis and then moved to Delaware and then moved to Philadelphia. And in each place that I went to, I found a sponsor. It was somebody who had a really strong sobriety and was very sort of opinionated and forceful, I guess is the way you'd describe it. My sponsor in Philadelphia was this guy named Richard. He was like an iron worker. My wife hated his guts. Because if he came into our house, he was always smoking, and he'd start talking about the program. He'd talk about the program to my wife, who had no interest in hearing about the program at all. And he'd talk to me about the program, and he'd stay while we tried to ease him out the door, you know, after a couple of hours. And anyway, when I moved up here, I guess I'd been here maybe 2 or 3 months, and I'd sort of developed a relationship with a couple of people I met in groups around here, but I still kind of had this loose connection with my sponsor down in Philadelphia, and I really wasn't working the program. And my wife, who originally was excited about this because there's more time to go out and I was around the house more and stuff like this, one day turns to me and she says, "So when are you going to find Richard?" I'm like, "What?" She goes, "You need to find a Richard who lives around here." And I was shocked. I was shocked, but then at that moment I realized it. I was like, what am I thinking? You know, just floating around from meeting to meeting, you know, talking to people, going out for coffee and stuff, but not having somebody who's like this person who will kind of like call me on my lies, call me on, you know, and say, this is what you need to be working on. And that was when I found Jim. And the litmus test is always to introduce him to my wife. She hated his guts, and that was it. I was like, I found my man. And, you know, anyhow, I kid Jim, but he really, he's done a great deal for me. And this meeting, when we started this meeting, which Jim often introduces me as like the co-founder, but really if it weren't for Jim saying we've got to start a meeting and we're going to do it, it wouldn't have happened. But we sat around here for five people for a long time. And this meeting did not attract a bunch of people from the local area. Recall my first statement about the hundreds of people. but this meeting was built largely upon going to rehabs and detoxes. We went to Summit Hospital. And we didn't go to Summit Hospital because we looked it up in some book and they said, you know, Summit Hospital needs somebody. Jim drove over to Summit Hospital and said, can I speak to somebody in the psych unit? And they said, yeah. And he said, we'd like to bring in an AA meeting to your unit. And they were kind of like, it was like they'd never heard of anything like that before. And we started bringing in a meeting. And it was great for the hospital. It was great for the people there. But for me, it changed my life. Because up to that point, if I took a commitment to go somewhere and speak, it was like, oh, I'm going to speak. This is going to be great. You know, they're probably going to introduce me. It'll be really nice and stuff. And when we got to that hospital, I was kind of like, Jim, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to talk to these people. And he said, just repeat what I told you to say. Follow me. Follow my lead. And I'd listen to Jim talk for 15 minutes, and then I'd talk for 15 minutes. And that was how I learned to speak to other alcoholics in a way that was truly helpful. That wasn't me standing up there telling some great story that everybody wants to, like, pat me on the back afterwards for, but actually to, like, reach out to other alcoholics. And so that's it for me.
Thanks. Next we have Tim, the other Tim. Where is he? Oh, there he is.
How you guys doing? My name is Tim, I'm alcoholic. And Jesus Christ, I'm sitting there thinking of something good to say. I don't know. I figure I'd tell you a little bit. It was like when I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous, and remember I was in jail, and I had just gotten my shoes stolen from me, and I was getting bailed out by my mom and my girlfriend at the time, and I was expecting to go home and you know maybe go to sleep and have a good night, and I got bailed out. And my mom said, we're gonna go meet your uncle, and Jim's my uncle, and that wasn't my plan, It wasn't my wasn't my plan to get sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. It wasn't my plan to come to these rooms. And Jim told me that that I could come move in with him, And I thought, this would be good, and I'll get my own room, and maybe I get some money, This is my plan when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And for the newcomer, if you're in here. It wasn't until I went to my first meeting that night, maybe the second night, that I heard some people up at the podium talking about what it was like, what happened and what their lives are like today. And up to that point, I never knew anybody else felt the way that I felt, sober. And, because my whole life growing up, drink, no drink, I felt different. I felt uncomfortable. Something was wrong. And I didn't know what it was, my parents for a long time thought maybe I had like a severe mental disorder or mental problems, and I had been tested for like lead poisoning and paint chips, and I didn't know what was wrong. I tried to figure it out. Everybody around me tried to figure out what was wrong with me, and it wasn't until some people in this group explained to me what the disease of alcoholism is, and what I suffer from when I'm sober. Because it's not, if you looked at my life, you would have said the drink caused a lot of problems in my life, and I knew that. But for me, it's when I'm sober, I just don't know how to live life. And, this group and the people in it and Jim taught me how to live life. I could never do it before. I just didn't know how. And I hear Tom say it before, we know how to make a living, just don't know how to live. And that was my experience. I just couldn't do it. It seemed like it should work. I tried so hard to make it work. But I couldn't do it, and congratulations, Jim, and it's awesome to be here. Thank you.
Okay, next on the list we have Joyce.
Hi, my name is Joyce. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Joyce.
My sobriety date is April 24, 2005, and Midtown Group in D.C. is my home group. And it is definitely a privilege to be invited to this and to be here. I had a really bad attitude. I was like, I'm missing my home group. I'm, you know, like, have to travel 4 hours. And sitting here, you know, I really felt like there's nowhere else I'd rather be, you know. And I really got that overwhelming feeling that this program works, you know. When I found Jim Bach, or when Jim Bach found me, I was a couple weeks sober, and I'm absolutely dying here, absolutely dying in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was going to 3 meetings a day, averaging, you know, and waking up, wanting to kill myself, going at night, pacing my kitchen floor, you know, with a bottle poured, like with an open bottle, you know, and a kitchen knife in one hand, you know, and I was just, I'm dying. And by the grace of God, I truly feel like the grace of God, I was told to go down to this beach meeting in Ocean City, Maryland, and Jim was there with his guys, and in a typical sponsorship group fashion, they took me out to the beach, and I had my first, I think, like, moment of clarity in AA. You know, they sat down and explained the first 3 steps, and they played this game. They shared some secrets, and Jim said something that I had never told anybody my entire life, you know, and I lost my mind. I mean, lost my mind. I started wailing, and I ran up and tried to throw myself into the ocean, you know, because, I mean, the honesty and the light in these people's eyes, I mean, are terrifying. Terrifying. I, you know, my entire life, I could not connect with another human being. You know, I could BS anyone. I don't care what kind of credentials you have. You know, I could tell you whatever you want to hear. And when I came into these rooms, I felt like you people could see right through me. And it was made me feel vulnerable. You know, which for an alcoholic is a very disgusting feeling. And quickly, you know, I was swept up, you know, by this current. And it's been absolutely amazing. Jim and several people that he's introduced me to have been the teachers in my life. And I know there is no way that I would be alive. And like people have said to me, I mean, one of the first promises that Jim told me, and the promises of Alcoholics Anonymous, is that I never had to walk alone. And I mean, I called Jim, and with no exaggeration, for the first probably 6 months, every morning at 6 a.m. when I left for work. And he helped me, I mean, just walk through my day. And for the first year, I called him every day. And for the first year and a half, I mean, I'm current, you know what I mean? And I feel like I need that. I need these lifelines because I can't do it on my own. I mean, a belligerent, know-it-all girl like me, I mean, that's all I want to do is just do it on my own. I can do it. I'm fine. You know, leave me alone. And there are these people here that just always want better for me than I want for myself, you know? I'm glad that when I got here, I had the gift of desperation. You know, I came here like putty, you know, and it really amazes me. A lot of people have been sharing me, like Jim said, and I have a lot of that. I don't retain anything, you know what I mean? But for some reason, those first 6 months of my sobriety, I mean, I remember a lot, and my feet were trained, you know, and I'm grateful that I was able to take that back to D.C., you know, and pass that on to other people's lives. And I hope, you know, there are a few people that I never loved or trusted anyone. And in my life today, there are a handful of people that I both love and trust, you know, and I hope to help as many people as these people have helped. And I don't know, nights like these, you know, I feel like I've been given so much, you know, and I hope to pass it on. I'm grateful to be here. So thank you.
And next we have Patty B.
Heidelberg Alcoholic. My sobriety date is June 10, 2002. And I really feel like God loves me the best in the whole wide world. I really do. And my grand sponsor, he says that God loves all his kids the same, but some of his kids love him more, so God pays more attention to the kids that love him the most. And so God pays a lot of attention to me because I love him so much. And the reason I feel like God loves me the best in the whole world is because God has sent me 4 fabulous people who have absolutely laid down their life and taught me. And they're so active. Like, I'm so active in Alcoholics Anonymous, like I'm a lunatic. And I don't know any better because the four people who taught me are lunatics, you know. And they are. So, like, my grand sponsor, he's old, you know, and he doesn't sleep, you know. And well, my first sponsor, she was really awesome. She absolutely didn't care one thing about my feelings at all. She heard them all the time, but she absolutely cared about my life, you know. And she shipped me here to Jim, you know. And the people like my sponsors and my grand sponsor, they had to help me, you know, because they're my sponsors and grand sponsors. But they shipped me off to this guy in New Jersey who had no idea who I was, just said I was an alcoholic. And this man absolutely laid down his life. And he took me out, and he took me to do my amends. And when my father died, he came and got me. As soon as buried my father, he came and got me. And I was really serious, you know. Everything was really serious. And Jim was telling me a story about one time. And I tried to get in touch with the guy to bring him here with us tonight, but I couldn't find him. But Jim was telling me that one of the guys he sponsored, right, he was in the hospital, you know, I guess he was like in the psych ward or something. And he was like crying and complaining, I want to die, I want to die, you know. And Jim had one of his new guys with him. And the guy wouldn't stop crying about how much he wanted to die. So Jim said to the guy, his new guy that he had with him, watch the door, right? And so he watched the door. And Jim grabbed a pillow and got on top of him and tried to suffocate him. You know what I mean? And the guy's like, you know, fighting. And finally, he gets away and he says, Jim, what are you trying to do? And Jim said, I thought you wanted to die. And then he's like, I don't want to die. And I love Jim Bach ever since that. He's been my hero, you know. I absolutely love him. And congratulations, Jim. I really absolutely love Jim with all my heart and soul. I would kill anybody for him. I really would. And and congratulations to Alcoholics Anonymous, because Alcoholics Anonymous absolutely works. Because I couldn't even go 20 minutes without a drink before I got here. And these four people absolutely laid down their life, you know, and showed me a way. And I don't ever have to go back there, and I don't ever have to live in that dark, dirty world ever again. You know, and they said that my world can keep getting brighter and shinier if I just pass it on, and I try to pass it on. You know, my grand sponsor says that everybody has a job in Alcoholics Anonymous. Some people will teach you what not to do, and some people will teach you what to do. And I try to follow my heroes and do what they do, and I try to teach people what to do. And congratulations.
Thanks for sharing, Patty. I would lastly like to have Tom, if you'd like to come up, please. And
still got a nerve. Congratulations, Jim. Boy, God has really demonstrated what he can do with such poor material. I'm not talking about Jim, I'm talking about me. You know? I'm talking to one of these new girls back here. It was appropriate. We were talking about the moon. Yeah, it was appropriate for her. The main purpose. What's your main purpose for living? What is every person asks themselves that question one time or another. Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing while I'm here? And when I'm finished here, in a general way, where am I going? Most people ask that question. In Alcoholics Anonymous, as a result of devoting your time to other people, those questions are answered fully. Fully. It is the wisdom of the ages that we are here to help one another. Some of us, because of our current condition, are unable to do that. Therefore, our purpose is not to hurt anyone. So you see, those who are qualified and those who are not qualified still have a job. One to help and one not to, you know, not to hurt. Nobody cops out free. Right? That's why we're here. That's our purpose. Right? What happens when we do that? We live a joyful life. Why do we live a joyful life? That can't be any fun. You know, I don't want to be out there helping people. Like, I got to be good. I don't want to be good. Who in the hell wants to be? People I know used to be like real good, had the real thin purple lips, you know, looking around. Somewhere, somebody's having fun. And it's my job to put a stop to it. I didn't want any part of that. It is fun because we're used by God. And we were designed for that use. We are an extension of God. When I was drinking, God would talk to me directly. He would say, Tom, it's okay to drink on weekends. God would appear on Friday nights to me personally after a few drinks. And he would tell me it was all right to drink. But after I came to you people, God stopped putting in personal appearances to me on Friday nights and sent sponsors and people like Jim to put a personal appearance and tell me, you don't drink. You postpone a drink. Okay? In other words, God uses you to talk to me. And when he uses you, he really doesn't need your permission. How do you like that? You are an extension of God, whether you like it or not. Well, I don't like it. Well, get used to not liking something. It's that simple. Where are you going? Where are you going? Let me tell you something, where you're going. Not a man or woman in this room will need a tombstone. You won't need a tombstone to mark your existence. No. Most people will need that stuff, but you won't. For every man or woman that you touch and you nudge their life a little closer to God, you've improved that life. And you improve the lives of all they have touched. That's what you have done. And you will touch so many that although your body may be laid out somewhere, what you have done and what you have planted is still growing in others. And there'll be so many that it will be impossible for you even to be dead. For your actions are still having actions in others. See? So when you have change going on, which is a sign of life, and that's what will be happening in the others. Say, you're immortal. You won't need a tombstone. You won't need anything. You'll be marked deeply by love in the hearts of the grateful. And I'm one of those who is deeply in debt to you. I've tried to pay you back for more than 27 years. And every time I try, I fall deeper in debt. But it's a debt that I'm glad to be immersed in, you know. It'll let me know that I'm just a beneficiary and I'm just a newspaper boy like my sponsor told me. I'm not the editor. I'm just carrying the papers and I deliver the papers. Whether you put them in the bottom of a bird cage or read them is your business. That's none of my business. But I'm just telling you this. It's a hell of a paper route. Congratulations, Jim. Thank you. I'm going to give Jim his 20-year chip. This guy's a soldier.
Yeah, my name is Jim. I'm an alcoholic. Amen. It's good to be here. It's really good to be sober. My sobriety date is November 19th, 1987. This is my home group, and this is my sponsor, and I sponsor some people. You know, it's funny, my life was a disaster before this group started. It was horrible. I had a horrible existence. It wasn't because Alcoholics Anonymous was bad in this area or anything. I was unteachable. I was selfish and self-centered, and I thought I knew it all. And what I needed to do was trip myself up with self-will. And I found people in Alcoholics Anonymous, when I want to run on self, a lot of people will just go for it, and they just watch the show. And you know, I have a tendency to want to step in between people and their self-will. And it's not a good spot to be, and I couldn't imagine anybody trying to step between me and myself well. But what happened was that my life was a disaster, and I couldn't see, living anymore. I couldn't imagine life without alcohol anymore. And I was sober for a long time. And I went to this meeting, and this guy shared that he had less than 20 bad days in 20 years. And I looked at him, I'm thinking, well, you son of a bitch, you're going to have a bad day today. I'm going to get you after the meeting. And what happened was I went up to him after the meeting. I was in York, Pennsylvania. And the only problem is I had to wait because he was surrounded by all these little brown nosers. Right? And I had to wait my turn. And then finally, I got to the point where, it was my turn. And what came out of my mouth was, can I have your phone number? Because in the early days of Alcoholics Anonymous, it was awesome. I was spiritually alive. I was connected. I knew that I was going to be okay. I didn't have a lot of worldly clamor. I didn't have a lot of money, property, prestige, nothing to interfere with this process. And it was just me, and I had a sponsor who was accessible, that helped me in countless ways, and I was sponsoring a whole boatload of guys until I let what God had given me interfere with the process of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because God, when I'm doing God's work, He'll give me whatever I want, And you go through the steps, like I went through the steps, and you come alive, and you know what? There's no shortage of people wanting you to work for their companies. There's no shortage whatsoever, and there's no shortage of people that want to, jump in bed with you or, do things for you. Okay, there's no shortage of people that want to be with you, and they don't quite understand why. Okay, but you shine, and this program makes you shine. And what I did was I took all that stuff. And I gathered up as much as I could. And what it did was it destroyed my life because I stopped doing Alcoholics Anonymous. I stopped helping people in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I became spiritually dead. And I fantasized about driving into oncoming traffic because the noise in my head was just horrible. And I met this man, and what he did was he showed me how to do Alcoholics Anonymous. I was fresh and I was ready, and I was willing to follow somebody else's direction. And He seemed really, really nice until he became my sponsor. Yeah. I remember I was sitting at a discussion meeting one day, and I was sitting next to him, and there's like a little speaker discussion. We were in Maryland, and I was thinking some brilliant things to say, and I was like, okay. And somebody puts their hand down. My hand, I go up, and Tom's sitting next to me. Pushed my hand down. He said, "Don't hurt yourself." I was like, what? You son of a bitch, what? He goes, in Alcoholics Anonymous, we carry the message, we don't spread the disease. I was like, oh, Jesus, And what he encouraged me to do was to take action I didn't quite understand. And you know what? I knew, based on what he was sharing with me about himself, that he understood exactly what I was going through. And he didn't come out and he didn't say, I understand. He just laughed. He told me, I'd tell him my story, and he'd laugh, and he'd go, yeah, I did that. And it wasn't like, you're going to be okay. By the way he had gotten through it and the smile on his face, I knew that I was going to be okay. I need somebody strong in Alcoholics Anonymous. Absolutely strong. Somebody who's willing to tell me the truth. And what I need to do is have one person in Alcoholics Anonymous that I'm willing to let be right. Okay, if I can let one person be right and pray for understanding, I know that Tom's an alcoholic. Okay, I know he's an alcoholic. Okay, but what I don't need to do is I don't need to fight the process. Because what I want to do is when I'm selfish and I'm self-centered and I want to run by on self and I want to get what I can out of this world instead of trying to see what I can contribute, what it's like is that if you run against that, what I want to do is I want to take your inventory. I want to look at all your faults, every little tiny fault you have. Forget about helping thousands of people. Forget about dedicating your life to service. Okay, I want to look at your driving. You know, I want to say, this guy, son of a bitch, drives too fast. You know what I mean? Or I want to look at these things that don't really matter at all, okay, and tear somebody apart because of my inaction, of my insecurities. I'll never be able to pay Alcoholics Anonymous back for what it's given me. There's so many people here, and it's not so much Tom that has done all this, anything for me, but it's all those people that have let me into their lives that have saved me from thinking about myself. The hundreds and hundreds of people that I've worked with that are dead or in jail or whatever, that have welcomed me into their homes or that came and slept on my couch, that allowed me to participate in their life, okay, for them, okay. I thank my daughter. My daughter has helped me 12-step hundreds and hundreds of people. You know what I mean? I remember when George got out of the nut house about 7-8 years ago, and he was a little rough around the edges, okay? And once we took the bullets out of his 9mm, right, and he would come over and he'd sit on the couch, and like one day, you know, I come out, and George is like, you know, he's always falling asleep. He's falling asleep in meetings. He's falling asleep in the car. And I come out, and I'm going, Jessica, what the hell did you do? What she did was she taped his eyes shut. Okay? Okay. I'm like, what did you do? That's great. Right? A month later, right, George and Jessica, you know, were playing on the swings, right? You know, they're about the same age emotionally. George was... I mean... George was like 30 and Jessica was like 7, right? And Jessica comes in and goes, he poured soda on me. And she's got this little tiny orange dot like on her sweater right here. I go, what did he do? And then George is walking behind her. He's covered from head down with soda. Drenched with soda. And she goes, I can't believe he got soda on me. And then there was this guy, you know, what happened was Jessica was in, she was about 4 years old or 5 years old, and she had gotten a fight with a girl in school because the little kid hogged the guinea pig. You know what I mean? And then she pulled the chair out from under her, and I said, oh, this is great. So I took Jessica, we did an inventory. Right, and we looked at her part and the fact that she sat next to her again and again after this little demon was annoying her, and I was like, oh, you think she's going to be different? She's like, and she starts like, and she got into it. She got into the spirit, you know. And she saw her part, and she said, I just don't have to sit next to her, you know. And the fact that these principles seem to work on every, I mean, she didn't want to make amends, but yeah, you know, and. Anyway, I love Alcoholics Anonymous. It has helped me in countless ways. It allows me to engage in a process that can modify my thinking anytime I want. I'm as happy as I want to be. There's nobody on this planet that can control how happy I am. I have all the power. It's in my feet. If I'm willing to... You know, if I'm insane, it's just because I'm thinking about myself. I can get in my car or get on a train or walk down the street and help somebody at any time. And the best thing that my sponsor has ever done for me and the best thing that I've ever done for anybody is encourage them to do something for somebody else. That is the secret in Alcoholics Anonymous. That is it. If I live that way, I don't have to think about myself. I don't have to worry about myself. My problems go away, and I see God everywhere. I see God everywhere. I see coincidence I never dreamed possible. I see it, you know, I can't explain how wonderful that feeling is, you know. And it's just surrounding myself with people like you guys, you know, that do AA, you know, when it's unpopular, you know. And that's it. I want to thank you for letting me stay sober, and we got a nice way of closing.